Professional Floor Covering can't wait to connect with our friends through today's community comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
It is 95.3 WBEV and community comment. I'm Jake Hayes, and we are just about to get kicked off here on community comment. It is brought to you by Professional Floor Covering. It's an Ambi Design Center at 713 Park Avenue in Beaver Dam. You can find them at proflr.com. They're locally owned. Randy and his team are here to help you design the perfect space. Over 1,000 samples of carpet, LVP hardwood tile, area rugs, and window finishings. It's so much more than floors. It's a wide selection of kitchen and bathroom countertops, cabinets, tile, shower inserts, and more. They also have a pro-edge sharpening going on right now, located inside Professional Floor Covering. It's a full-service blade sharpening shop. They can sharpen blades of all kinds. You can get those lawnmower blades in now. It's never too late. If it has an edge, they will sharpen it. Saw blades, drill bits, hole saws, knives, scissors, chipper blades, ag blades, and almost anything with an edge. Just call 920-887-8341. Now, without further ado, here's Kevin Haugen with Community Comment.
Thank you very much, and good morning. Welcome into today's community comment. It is my pleasure to welcome into our Daily Dodge TV studio this morning our guest on the program, State Representative Mark Bourne. Mark, thank you so much for dropping by and chatting with us. And it's been a busy stretch here for the folks there at the Capitol, but we appreciate your time here this morning.
Yeah, good morning. Good to be here as always.
Yeah, and we're able to batten down the hatches last night, and hopefully didn't get any severe Beaver Dam. A lot of areas got hit hard, but here in Beaver Dam, we were fortunate to at least avoid most of the major storms.
Yeah, certainly. It was scary for a little while there, though, for the central Dodge County and into the Mayville area, and pretty wild night of pretty bad storms. Kind of saw it earlier in the afternoon developing in Columbia County, and then started to develop here in Dodge. And certainly, I think I saw the sheriff last night say that we were blessed that it wasn't worse, that we didn't have fatalities and major injuries, and unfortunately a lot of property damage, especially in the Juneau and Mayville areas, but that stuff can always be fixed. A life can't be. So certainly appreciate last night as I monitored things, listening to the overwhelming response, as expected, from our fire, EMS, law enforcement folks. Folks really came together, took care of things, really stabilized those communities pretty quick afterwards, and getting streets shut down and making sure it was safe for the folks that were stuck there in those damaged areas and things, and getting those Red Cross shelters set up. I think I was listening to Wade and Sherry this morning on the morning show, and Wade was talking about how it got real and real fast. And I think that was a good way to put it. It was quite a storm. And, even here in the Beaver Dam area, those heavy winds and the hail and stuff, when it came, it was quite a burst. And so that's what Mother Nature does to us once in a while. And we've been fortunate. I was talking with my family a little bit last night about how my wife thought this was maybe the closest like a real tornado had come to, just a few miles away. She's like, we get a lot of them, you go to the basement and it's not really right in the area or whatever. And certainly, folks in this area that were around in the 70s and 80s, know that we've had some direct hits on the city of Beaver Dam. But, that's the closest one to Beaver Dam in quite a while, too.
Yeah, it really was one of the worst storms. I've been here since 2017, so not a very long time in the grand scheme of things, but in terms of the storms that I've seen, it was by far one of the worst to hit our area. And the sheriff really did sum it up best by saying, blessed that no one was, at least when they were able to give the report last night, seriously injured, seriously hurt, which was really fortunate to see. And I know a lot of work is going to be done here in the Juneau and Mayville areas as they begin cleanup efforts. But, thankfully, no serious injuries or major major injuries were reported in the storm last night. A lot of work still to be done to clean up. But, again, our guest here today on Community Comment, State Representative Mark Bourne here on Community Comment. I'm going to give the phone number here quick and then go to break. And then we're going to come back and really dive into our main topics here today on the program. Primarily, it's going to be focusing on the budget because that is what, Mark, that you are really ingratiated in right now, being a part of the Joint Finance Committee, working on that document here over the last several months already, and still more work to be done, and we'll dive into that here here on our program today. But if you have a question for our guests here, you can call into the show at 920-885-4446 or text 920-887-9595. Again, that phone number is 920-885-4446 if you have a question for State Representative Mark Bourne here, our guest on Community Comment today. Let's take a quick break and come back with more Community Comment right after this.
This week's FFA Student of the Week, presented by Mid-State Equipment and Corey Oil, is Amberly Burke of Watertown. The senior has been involved in many FFA-related activities, including floriculture CDE and egg sales CDE, pumpkin painting, and more. Her favorite egg-related class is horse care, and she attended numerous state and national conventions. Congratulations to Amberly Burke. She's this week's FFA Student of the Week, presented by Corey Oil and Mid-State Equipment.
Are you in need of a good mechanic? If so, stop in and see the professional, trusted hometown mechanics at Jerry's Automotive, who were recently awarded a Carfax top-rated service center. You can trust Jerry's Automotive for all your automotive needs. Napa batteries, oil changes, and all major overhaul work. See us to keep your vehicle in great running condition. We also sell tires, specializing in Michelin, BF Goodrich, and Uniroyal. Don't miss out on Jerry's offer of free tire rotations with your tire purchase. Remember, when you purchase fuel at the one and only Spirit Pump, you are supporting our community. 2 cents of every gallon pumped during the month of May will be donated to St. Stephen's School. Take advantage of the convenience store, which is stuffed with everything you need for the road. I'm talking snacks and soda, flavored coffee, sweet treats, Amish candy, Chippies popcorn, Leroy meats, frozen pizza, and beer. Check out our 5-star reviews on our website at jerrysautomotivewi.com. Like us on Facebook or call 920-885-6411. Jerry's Automotive, 700 North Spring Street, across the street from the market, formerly Beaver Dam Food Pride.
Great news for homeowners with electric or hot water heating systems. Don't suffer through another year of heat and humidity with noisy, clumsy window air conditioners or no air conditioning at all. A Carrier Electric mini split system does not need ductwork for installation. Instead, it consists of an outdoor compressor with indoor head units to cool various rooms or areas within your home. An added bonus is the system is also a heat pump with the ability to warm your space when it's not quite cold enough to turn on your heating system. The Carrier Mini Split is energy efficient, quiet, and can be installed in a day or two with the team at AirCare. Call Chad to help you make the right decision for your home and connect you with financing, tax credits, and rebates available through Focus on Energy. AirCare has been serving the area for over 40 years and is committed to your comfort. To learn more about the Mini Split system and other services offered by AirCare, visit their website at aircareinc.com or call 920-356-8860 Carrier. Turn to the experts.
At Prairie Ridge Health, our rehab team is here to help you restore mobility, regain independence, and get back to doing what you love. With state-of-the-art facilities and a compassionate team of physical and occupational therapists, we're proud to serve our communities in Columbus, Beaver Dam, and Sun Prairie. Early morning and evening appointments are available. Schedule a visit today at prairieridge.health. Prairie Ridge Health, inspired by you.
They keep you informed on the Dodge County landscape. We keep the inside of your home looking great. Professional Floor Covering welcomes you to the next segment of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
It's 95.3 WBEV and Community Comment, and returning with more, here is Kevin Haugen.
It is 10:17 on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Welcome back into a Community Comment this morning. Again, our guest on the program is State Representative Mark Bourne. One more time, if you want to call in, that phone number is 920-885-4446. If you have a question about the budget or anything else that's been happening at the State Capitol, feel free to call in over the next hour with our guest, State Representative Mark Bourne, here on Community Comment. And Mark, I kind of want to kick our conversation off here today discussing the budget, because that is really taking up a majority of what you asked several weeks here and,
sure,
and moving forward as well. What items here did the Finance Committee recently take up here in the executive session here not too long ago.
Yeah, last week we just started our executive session. You know, the last time I was on, I was talking that we were kind of still in the information gathering phase. We were doing public hearings around the state, and then we were in the middle of that. And we've wrapped that up now. Now we're starting to actually craft the legislative budget. So we had our first votes in the committee last week. And that was the pretty routine meeting that we usually start out with doing several things. First and foremost, we take a motion that removes all of the policy. The governor put a lot of policy in the budget. And now I think one thing that is always a quick reaction when we do that is there's some things that people like, right? It's not like they're all bad ideas. There's some things that I like in that list that we removed. But the budget isn't the place for it. The budget is a spending document. It's where we're going to drop appropriations, money to fund things. It's not where we create brand new programs. That should be a standalone bill. It should run through the committee process. It should have its own separate public hearing that just focuses on that, where stakeholders and individuals can come in and talk about it and really decide, A, is this something we should do? And then B, what's the right way to do it? Because the devil is always in the details when you're creating a new program. And so we removed all that policy. And some of it might come back through the legislative process. Some of it's moving through the legislative process now and could move forward and ultimately become law. But it's not going to be done in the budget. So we wanted to strip all that stuff out first of all. And then the next thing we do is amend the governor's budget to take it back to base. And what that means is we're going to build our budget from the current law budget that we're all living under now. Because he made so many changes and had so much growth to government and tax increases and stuff in it that we thought this is kind of a mess. If we try to amend this in a variety of ways to create our document, it's going to be difficult to do. So let's go back to what we've all agreed on so far. It was a bipartisan, you know, budget that the governor signed last time that the legislature crafted, and then build our budget for all of Wisconsin from that. So those are the things that we did last week to kind of set us up to craft the budget moving forward. There are a couple other things that are called like standard budget adjustments and general fund transfers, things that are already in law that are done that we automatically. So one example of that is we've talked about this last budget. We'd made significant changes in investments to shared revenue for local governments 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, in a bipartisan agreement. And one of the things we did was tied it directly to the sales tax so that 1 cent of the 5 cent sales tax now goes into a segregated account that funds shared revenue for local governments that helps fund your police and fire and things like that. Well, as that sales tax grows over time, which it usually does, we collect more sales tax historically year after year, that's going to automatically move some of that money into that fund. So that's one of the functions that we did last week was that transfer of about $90 million of new money. That's how much the growth was in which was about 20% of that growth in sales tax. So that gets transferred into that SIG account that will now get distributed with that formula to local governments. And so it was a good thing when we did it. And then procedurally, we did like the next step of that last week to transfer that money that automatically now will be dispersed to local governments to help fund things that are important for folks with their local governments.
Yeah, I just want to go back a little bit. You mentioned building the budget from base, stripping out a lot of the governor's, as you call, policies out of the budget here. Obviously, it's there's two different sides of the aisles here working in conjunction to craft a state budget that everybody can be happy with. And talk about that process of working with the governor to craft a budget, because obviously you have to present something to him. You know, he has a final line item veto that he can work through, but something that he will ultimately sign into the state law.
Yeah, it's super important because of the split government, like you said. Any budget that happens in Wisconsin, and when I say happens, like gets completed, it has to be pass both houses of the legislature and be signed by the governor. So just with the way our current government is structured, it's going to have to be a bipartisan budget because there's going to have to be Republican votes in the legislature and there's going to have to be a signature from a Democrat governor. And we've been able to successfully do this now 3 times with this governor. And for the most part, we did that by crafting things that we wanted and then we thought he could live with or he needed and usually got there. But this time, we're trying to engage with him earlier. Because, and I talked about this, I think, last month when I was on the show, We think it's super important to have balance in the budget, and it isn't just about investments and spending. It also has to have tax reform. We have to be competitive in the Midwest, especially, but nationally and even in a global economy, with things like our tax structure, or we're going to lose in the long run. Businesses aren't going to come here if they can see that they can be in neighboring states and have a better tax advantage. That means we're going to lose jobs. That means we're going to lose revenue. So we got to have balance and all that stuff. And last time, the last budget, the governor vetoed basically the whole tax cut, and all we got left with was investments. And those investments are good. They're things we've talked about in the last year and a half on the show, and a lot of things that do a lot of good things for the state. But again, we got to have that balance, that policy balance, to make sure that we maintain a competitive economy, especially here in the Midwest. So we've been trying for a couple of weeks now to get the governor to engage with us more on talking about what that could look like, to have both key investments and tax reform. The staff have been talking, which is good, but now it's time where we really need to get the governor to the table. So we've been asking our legislative leaders, when I say we, you know, the speaker in the assembly and the majority leader in the Senate are our legislative leaders. They've been requesting a meeting with the governor and say, you know, the staff works good, but it's time that the principal players sit down and see if we can hammer out a deal. So far, the governor's office has been hesitant to put him in a meeting with the legislature. We're hopeful that logjam is going to break next week, because that's really, I think, an important next step to work towards a bipartisan deal that will be good for the state. And so we're hopeful that those meetings are going to happen soon. If they continue to refuse to meet with us, I guess we can go about crafting our own budget and he can, you know, take or leave what we give him. But I'm certainly hopeful that, because of the importance of trying to have some balance here, that he'll sit down with us sooner rather than later.
Yeah, you also mentioned that you know, even though things have been removed out of the proposed budget and stripped back down to base, doesn't necessarily mean that they might not be brought back in at some point here. Sure. as the budget is rebuilt back up again. Obviously, this is something that you've been asked about quite often. I'm sure you maybe are tired of hearing about this one particular topic. But one of those things was a $480 million child care measure that was a part of that. Obviously, yep. One of the things that was deleted from that proposed state budget. As we sit here today, what's an update that you can provide to us? Obviously, this is something that is making statewide headlines. There was another rally here that happened at the mm-hmm. Capitol not too long ago. In support of child care funding. What can you tell us when it comes to the discussions that are happening in the Finance Committee and the Joint Finance Committee as the budget is being rebuilt when it comes to child care funding?
Yeah, I think this is an important thing to talk about too, because it's really misunderstood. What was specifically removed was the Child Care Counts program that was created with federal money that the governor would like to now create a new program similar to it with state money. The legislature resoundingly rejected that 2 years ago in the last budget, or a year and a half ago. We're doing the same again. There's no interest in the legislature in creating a new program that's state funded for childcare. We have a variety of programs that already exist, and we should utilize those. And there might be some new smaller things that I think will be talked about as well. So all that was taken out is that one specific program. Childcare is not closed. There's nothing. Well, I shouldn't say nothing. There's some very small agencies. Like the Kickapoo River Alliance or something that it's called, that has like one employee and a very small budget that most people don't even know existed. We wrapped up some of those agencies last week. But for the 99% of the budget, there's nothing closed. We will take up the Department of Children and Families, which is where most of the child care funding is based right now. We spend, which I think will stun people, we spend almost $1 billion in a biennial budget on child care in Wisconsin. When people are talking about, you know, this child care counts thing and stuff, it almost sounds like we're doing nothing. That couldn't be further from the truth. Now, saying that doesn't mean that we don't have to do more. We will invest more in that. We will be – I mean, right now it's – I think it's like $960, $970 million in the budget. So we've been saying almost a billion because it's very close. We'll be over a billion. I'm very confident of that. We'll be well over a billion. But it'll be on programs that currently exist, like Wisconsin Shares that helps families that need it, like Teach and Reward, which are things that go to the staff to help them get the degrees that they need and help them get more money than when they get those degrees and things like that. There's a bunch of tax credits that are being talked about that will help families afford it better, that are actually paying the bills. So there are a variety of things. We had a comprehensive package last time. The governor rejected most of it. Took a few of them. We'll have one again. We'll spend money here. Like I said, we'll be almost $1 billion now. We'll be well over that. Because we know it's a major area for, well, one, the families that are in it. It's super expensive. But two, and somewhat more important statewide, for workforce and things like that, you know, because even, you know, this is like, some of this becomes like the school debate, right? I don't have any kids in school. Why am I paying so much for schools? Well, we got to educate the future. Some of that starts already with early childhood brain development and birth to three. Some of that's building our workforce. Some of it's building our workforce by allowing both parents to go to work and have a good place for their kids to go. That's reasonable. So this impacts the state as a whole. But we got to find ways to do it that makes sense. And it doesn't make sense to us to create a brand new program that's just a handout to the businesses themselves when we have things in place to already help things with quality and access and affordability for the families that are actually paying the bill. So those are the things we will focus on. It was the same. We called it our three-pronged approach last time. We will probably call it that again as we target all three of those areas that I just mentioned, but it'll be a priority.
As a quick follow-up there, you mentioned that the state already spends close to $1 billion in the child care industry. Does it need to be looked at, and you know, maybe finding ways to change how that money is being allocated out? Because it still sounds like childcare facilities, you mentioned some small ones, but it still sounds, you know, even from the people that I have heard from, that a lot of them are still having issues being able to keep their lights on and doors open. Is it having to find a way to move that money around in other areas to help them out? Because it does sound like money is being provided to childcare facilities and industries, but maybe finding a better way to utilize those dollars.
And that might be part of it. I think some of it too is this is the same challenge sometimes we have with K through 12 education is we have to develop a statewide policy, but it's different everywhere. I mean, I toured a childcare facility in the district. Was it earlier this week or last week? I'm losing track of days. I think it was earlier this week. I think it was Monday. And they certainly have challenges like all businesses do, but they were far more stable in their operations than some of the other child care centers that I've toured in the area. And so, you know, it's just there's a variety of issues. The issues in Dodge County aren't the same as in Milwaukee County, aren't the same as in Clark County. Some of them are, but some of them aren't. And that's why it's just like K-12 where we have to figure out a statewide policy. That's also why then, though, instead of just doing some sort of new government subsidy that doesn't exist now, at least in state government, directly to a business, we do the three-pronged approach where we can try to help families, we can try to help access, we can try to help quality. And, you know, I think that's the smarter approach. Now, is it easy or does everything, you know, when we pull a lever or drop some money into some bucket, does that fix all of the problems? No, it'll probably fix some problems at some centers, which, again, is why a three-pronged approach makes sense.
We're with State Representative Mark Bourne here on Community Comment. We have to take a short break. More program is coming up next.
Did you hear? A recent stash of $10 Gold Liberty coins from the 1800s has been found. These gorgeous gold coins are as bright and shiny as the day they were struck in the late 1800s. And less than 200 of these gold coins are available. Coin experts are calling this gold find an incredible opportunity. Call 1-800-973-9819. And you are guaranteed a $10 Gold Liberty coin minted by the U.S. Mint in the 1800s. But with extremely limited availability, you must call now. These Gold Liberty coins from the 1800s are still in uncirculated condition. That is history you can hold in your hand. To learn more, call 1-800-973-9819. Call now and you'll receive a free American Coin Collector's Bonus Package, a $40 value, free with every order. Call 1-800-973-9819 now to secure your $10 Gold Liberty coins dated from the 1800s before they sell out. That's 1-800-973-9819.
Keep your feet kicked up, sit back, and hang with us at 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge from the Slumberland Furniture Studio.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. No substantial progress made in peace talks between Russia and Ukraine. At discussions in Istanbul, the Russians said to have presented new demands, including a lot of Ukrainian territory that Ukraine flat-out rejected. President Trump not there for the talks, and ABC's Ian Panel in Istanbul says
he is the one who holds sway, holds influence directly with Vladimir Putin and also with President Zelensky. In some senses, you kind of have both sides playing this diplomatic game of trying to appeal to the United States rather than seriously dealing with each other.
The president now headed back to Washington from his Middle Eastern tour. He has been talking with European leaders on Air Force One. Engineers and management at New Jersey Transit sitting down to bargain again, but not till Sunday. This morning, thousands of commuters found themselves without a way into work because of the engineer strike. Sean Combs' ex-girlfriend Cassie Ventura cross-examined on what's likely her last day on the witness stand in his sex trafficking trial. This is ABC News.
Award-winning news you can count on. WBEV.
Well, Dodge County was hit by devastating storms last night. Around 6 p.m., significant storm cells moved through the area, which resulted in heavy damage, mainly in the cities of Juneau and Mayville. The National Weather Service did confirm that a tornado touched down over Mayville. Well, many streets and highways were closed due to downed trees and power lines. More information about the storm is at dailydodge.com. LA top city, a Beaver Dam employee is leaving the job. Administrator Nathan Teal has announced that he is resigning from the role. In his resignation letter, Teal writes that he is committed to assisting with a smooth transition and offers, if the council desires, to serve for a longer duration until a replacement candidate has been secured. His last day is currently set for June 6th. A missing person from Milwaukee who was also wanted on a misdemeanor charge was arrested by Dodge County Sheriff's deputies yesterday. A release from the Sheriff's Department says deputies were alerted at about 2:30 p.m. after a hit on a Flock camera on Interstate 41. The driver of the vehicle reportedly failed to pull over and a low-speed chase ensued for about 2 miles. The 37-year-old driver eventually stopped at a gas station in Lamara and immediately surrendered to deputies. An extension cord caused a structure fire in Watertown yesterday. The Watertown Fire Department was dispatched to Sand Street shortly after 7 a.m. for a fully involved detached garage with flames extending to the home. The entire fire was finally extinguished before 9 a.m. Well, grant dollars will be used for a key restoration project at the Horicon Marsh. The Friends of Horicon Marsh International Education Center recently received a $1,000 grant from the Beaver Dam Area Community Foundation. The money will go towards a surface restoration of the large concrete patio map on the west exterior of the Horicon Marsh Education and Visitor Center. And I'm Kevin Haugen reporting from the Daily Dodge News Center. Submit your news tips at dailydodge.com.
Slight chance of thunderstorms today. Otherwise, cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Daytime highs approaching 80. Southerly winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Chance of thunderstorms tonight. Lows level off around 49. Cloudy skies expected. Slight chance of rain showers tomorrow. Highs level off around 63. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on 95.3 WBEV. Powered by Daily Dodge. Currently 73.
It's time for an upgrade. Upgrade your view with new windows and enjoy summer year-round with a sunroom from Hometown Glass and Improvement. Schedule your free estimate with Hometown Glass now and choose from an amazing selection of windows with over 10 top brands. Shop local and leave your home improvements to the area experts. Visit their showroom on North 7171 Raceway Road in Beaver Dam and check them out online at Hometown Glass and Improvement. You can call 887-3757 to schedule your free estimate today.
This week's White Construction High School Athlete of the Week is Alexandra Leal of Beaver Dam High School. Alexandra plays girls varsity soccer for Beaver Dam. Her favorite high school athletic moment is diving in front of the post to save a goal in her varsity debut 3 seasons ago. Alexandra gives credit to her mom for always being the first person to support her. After graduation, she plans to continue her athletic career at Madison College while studying radiology. Congratulations once again to Beaver Dam High School's very own Alexandra Leal. She is this week's White Construction High School Athlete of the Week.
Every week is a great week to shop at the market at Beaver Dam, but this week it's just a little more grand. The market's grand reopening madness continues this Saturday with a brat fry from 11 to 1. A brat, chips, and soda or water, just $1 gets you all of that. And proceeds support the Beaver Dam High School Choir's New York trip. Say hello to the choir members as they staff the brat fry themselves. Bring your kids, bring your friends, and bring your kids' friends, as the market will also have animal balloons, face paintings, a bags tournament for prizes, and so much more.
providing this community beautiful floors and so much more. The team at Professional Floor Covering can't wait to connect with our friends through today's community comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Back with more community comment on 95.3 WBEV. It is brought to you in part by McKintry's Home Furnishings. And if you're looking to refresh your home with bold, beautiful new furniture, there's never been a better time. Celebrate style and savings during the red, white, and blue sale going on now at McKintry's Home Furnishings in downtown Beaver Dam. It's just in time for the spring and the patriotic season ahead. Whether you're sprucing up your living room or adding a cozy accent to your favorite reading nook, they've got stunning options to match your style and your budget. Save on Lazy Boy recliners, sofas, mattresses, bedroom sets, dining sets, area rugs, end tables, pictures, lamps, and accessories. Plus, pick one of the red, white, or blue balloons, pop it, and reveal your additional discount where you can save up to 50%. There's free financing with no interest until November. McKintry's Home Furnishings in downtown Beaver Dam. Hurry, the red, white, and blue sale ends Saturday, May 24th, and they'll be closed on May 25th and the 26th to observe the Memorial Holiday. McKintry's honors the men and women, past and present, who have served our country. Now back with more community comment, here's Kevin Haugen.
Well, thank you, Jake, and welcome back into our third segment this morning of community comment. Our guest on the program today, State Representative Mark Bourne. If you have a question for our guest, you can call into the show at 920-885-4446 or text 920-887-9595. Again, that phone number, 920-885-4446. If you have a question for our guest today, State Representative Mark Bourne here on Community Comment. And we've been chatting about the budget process here in our last segment of Community Comment. Just to briefly dive back into that before we move on, Mark, where are we here? We're sitting here likely about, hopefully anyways, a month and a half out before the new budget is signed into law. The new fiscal year starts, I believe, that start of July is when that begins, and kind of hopefully get that budget ready by then. As we sit here in the middle of May, where are we in this budget process, and what can we expect to see next?
Yeah, I think right now we're still on schedule, but we're to the point here where if we can't get the governor to meet with us soon to talk about the budget, that we're going to start to be in delay. And so it's important to get those conversations going. That's why I said leadership's asking, you know, the governor next week to find some time to sit down with us. Hopefully we can do that. Otherwise, here as we move along in May, if the governor's not going to talk to us about things, which is unfortunate, we'll have to get back into the executive budget process in the committee and start making votes to try to move things along. But right now we're well positioned to finish the budget on time. The committee's certainly ready to do our work. We're hopeful that the governor's ready to join us soon in those conversations.
State Representative Mark Bourne, our guest here on Community Comment today. I want to now focus on recent floor session. There's still other things that need to happen at the Capitol. Yeah. And, it's not just all budget-related work. The recent floor session and some legislative action taking place. One of the bills that was brought up and discussed there and that moved out of the Assembly now onto the State Senate is a bill that, Mark, you helped introduce.
Yep.
That ties here directly into the city of Beaver Dam.
Yeah, we've got a TID bill, Tax and Criminal Finance District legislation that's related to the data centers that are coming both here to Beaver Dam, and then there's one that's close to starting and final negotiations in the Port Washington area. And so the representative Brooks from that region and I ended up combining our two bills together to move forward because we were kind of targeting the same thing. The bills themselves are not directly involved with the data center or anything like that. The data center projects are, negotiated locally. There were actions done by the city of Beaver Dam and their development corp as far as like development agreements. And what this bill is about the TID district, the TIDs, the Tax and Criminal Finance Districts that communities use as their primary economic development tool. And there's limits on them. And one of those limits is you can't have more than 12% of the value of your city tied up in those types of districts. And these data centers are so huge. The one in Port Washington is going to be more than the value of the entire city of Port Washington. The one in Beaver Dam here is going to be way more than 12%, probably 30, 40% of the value of the city. And so what that means is that they would not be able – Beaver Dam wouldn't be able to continue to do their normal economic development with that tool, the TID tool. So they couldn't do another residential TID like the one they've got going out there on Oldinger Road right now. They couldn't do another industrial TID like the multiple ones they've had around the community over the years, most recently on the north side where the
Generac.
I always forget the name of like the battery place. I always forget their name.
You always see where, the image in your head, but the name always
Where Generac just recently opened and stuff, you know. And so Beaver Dams are very successful with that. And we want to let them keep that tool. And so the bill's just saying that let's exempt these data centers from that TID restriction because they're so massive. They weren't really considered when those TID restrictions were put in place. We didn't have projects that were this large. And so while it doesn't directly impact those developments, it does directly impact the community's ability to continue to do economic development in other ways. So it passed the assembly this week with wide bipartisan support. I think it was 95 or 96 votes for it, a small handful of mostly socialists, four or five that voted against it. So moved on to the Senate now. Hopefully it'll get that strong bipartisan support there and get to the governor's desk and get signed so that Beaver Dam is blessed in many ways to have this big development, but we want to make sure they can continue to do their normal economic development stuff and have this important tool to do it.
And so, again, that just moved out of the state assembly. So next stop is the state Senate. And as we were talking off air, even though it passed the assembly with overwhelming bipartisan support, it's so hard to know exactly what will happen in the this next phase. Here in the state Senate, but if it does move out of there, then it will go to the governor's desk for signature. And once that's done, essentially then this bill is enacted into law.
Then it's law, And so hopefully it'll move through the Senate smoothly, but I think we've got a hearing coming up next week on it. So it is moving through the process at least, and hopefully we can get it done. I think it's important. And like I said, it's an important economic development tool for both these communities.
Yeah, State Representative Mark Bourne here, our guest on Community Comment this morning. We'll take another short break. More Community Comment is coming up next.
Catch the Milwaukee baseball game this Sunday at 95.3 WBEV and listen for the Columbus Family Dental Mystery Player of the Game. Then tune in to the 95.3 WBEV morning show the following business day. Be the correct number caller when we ask who was the Columbus Family Dental Mystery Player of the Game. Get it right, and you'll win a pair of Milwaukee baseball tickets. Be sure to listen to 95.3 WBEV this Sunday for Milwaukee baseball's Mystery Player of the Game, brought to you by Columbus Family Dental.
From the floor to ceiling and the walls in between, you'll find it on sale at Professional Floor Covering during the May Gold Tag Sale. Hi, this is Randy, owner of Professional Floor Covering, inviting you to shop and save during the May Gold Tag Sale. You'll save on every Abbey carpet in the store. Abbey carpets give you the durability and beauty you need with a 60-day quality assurance guarantee. Shop our Staten carpet line, offering high-quality, beautiful designer patterns and styles. We have an impressive selection of in-stock carpet for you to shop with over 40 rolls to choose from. We're also making it easy for you to go green with a renewable resource. Check out our wool carpet display with durable natural stain fighter option that looks and feels great. At Professional Floor Covering, we've got the best brands and styles for every project. We're here to make your home look amazing. Shop and save during the May Gold Tag Sale at Professional Floor Covering, 713 Park Avenue in Beaver Dam. Online at proflr.com.
Celebrate style and savings during the Red, White, and Blue Sale going on now at McKinstry's Home Furnishings in downtown Beaver Dam. Looking to refresh your home with bold, beautiful new furniture? There's never been a better time. Just in time for spring and the patriotic season ahead. Whether you're sprucing up your living room or adding a cozy accent to your favorite reading nook, we've got stunning options to match your style and your budget. Save on Lazy Boy recliners, sofas, mattresses, bedroom sets, dining room sets, area rugs, lamps, and accessories. Plus, pick one of the red, white, or blue balloons, pop it, and reveal your additional discount. Save up to 50%. Free financing with no interest until November. McKinstry's Home Furnishings in downtown Beaver Dam. Hurry, the Red, White, and Blue Sale on Saturday, May 24th. We will be closed on May 25th and 26th to observe the Memorial Day holiday. We honor the men and women, past and present, who have served our country.
Year after year, McKinstry's Home Furnishings. Doctors Jackie and Colby McIntyre of Marshview Veterinary Clinic in Randolph are here to help make sure your pet is healthy both physically and mentally.
Our practice philosophy includes making sure that we are addressing not only preventative health, but day-to-day mental health and well-being. Dogs that have anxiety, there's options for medications for that. Dogs that have behavior issues, there's medications that we can layer in to help keep those animals comfortable and happy.
To make an appointment, call Marshview Veterinary Clinic in Randolph today or visit marshviewvetclinic.com.
Corey Sparks here live at our Broad Fry at Silica for your home on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. You can stop on down here off of North Spring Street from 11 to 1 p.m. for a Pernat's Premium Brat with a soda or water for just $2. Plus, take your shot at our 95K Sizzle and Sweepstakes and see if you can crack the prize vault and win $95,000. I'm here with Kevin from Silica. Thank you for joining us. What do you guys carry at Silica? If we can start with just what you offer for the community, first off.
Sure. Thank you so much for coming down. Here at Silica for your home, we have kitchen appliances, we have grills, TVs, electronics. We have our own custom install team. So if you're looking to have somebody install a TV specialty, hang it on the wall or anything like that, we can take care of that for you as well. We take care of your major appliances and everything. And we also have a service department to back you up if you ever have any questions down the road.
Awesome. In terms of the sale going on around Memorial Day right now, what kind of deals can the public capitalize on?
Yeah, very good. So the deals that are happening right now, a lot of rebates are happening. So the more you buy one brand name, the bigger the rebate and everything. We do offer free delivery and installation on select appliances and stuff. So it works out pretty nice. It's just a matter of coming in and seeing what we have, and people can pick what they want. If you want to mix and match, you're more than welcome to do that. Or if you're just looking for one piece, absolutely, we'll get you taken care of.
All right, Kevin, I appreciate the time. Are you going to stop out and get a broad at some point?
Absolutely. Before I head on out, you bet.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Hear what's going on in your community. Stay tuned to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, presented by Professional Floor Covering.
We are back with more Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV. Here's Kevin Haugen.
Well, thank you very much, and welcome back into our final segment of Community Comment. Today, our guest on the program, State Representative Mark Bourne of Beaver Dam. This is your last opportunity to call in if you have a question for the representative. That number is 920-885-4446, or you can text 920-887-9595. In the next 6 or 7 minutes or so before we have to sign off here on Community Comment today. And Mark, with our last segment here, want to just highlight a couple other things that happened here in the legislation, or in the Assembly, excuse me, this past week. And what are some of the legislation that you put your name on here earlier this week?
Yeah, we were in session earlier this week. I would say, maybe a couple of the highlights. There was some legislation on direct primary care. Trying to make that clear as an option for folks in Wisconsin, and there's more detail involved in this probably than we can get into now, but I try to make it simple for folks that aren't familiar with it. It's kind of a way to get some health care similar to what might be a YMCA membership type of thing, but you get like a membership in a doctor's office, and then they take care of your primary care stuff. What's confusing for folks is it's not insurance, and so we're trying to make that clear. That's not insurance. If you choose to go that route, you still have to have health insurance under federal law. You would get something that would be more like a catastrophic stuff where, like, if you had to go to the hospital, you'd have insurance for that. But this is more of you can contract for a specific amount of money with a primary care doc that you can see for all your routine stuff, right? You get an earache, you break a finger, you got a sinus infection, you need a prescription. And this is a relatively new model that's gaining popularity. And it's something that's not right for all folks and families, but for some people it is a good model. And so we want to do more to clarify what it is and make sure that people know that it's out there and it's clear what you're buying and not buying when you buy into these things. And so I think that's good to create more options and more opportunity for folks to make decisions in the healthcare market. So that's a positive thing. Another piece of legislation that we've taken up in the Assembly before. Hopefully it'll get through the Senate this time, because I think this is just smart as well and the right thing to do for folks is to make birth control available through your pharmacy without having to go to your doctor. Pharmacists are well trained in this stuff, can help patients make decisions and things on side effects. Again, this is what's – it's about access. It's about making it easier for folks to make these medical decisions for themselves. You know, birth control is something that's been very effective for a lot of women, a lot of families for a long time now. And but in Wisconsin, you got to go to your doctor and get a prescription, right? And so we're just trying to make things easier and more accessible for folks that want to choose that option for their health or for their family. And so I think that's a step in the right direction. I'm hopeful that that'll move forward. You know, there's always debate on this. There's people that feel strongly in both directions on some of this stuff, but you look at a lot of European countries and stuff, these things are available just over the counter, like Tylenol. And, so we're not going that far yet, at least. That's a whole different debate. But just trying to, use the healthcare professionals that are out there, and in this case, pharmacists, who also go through a lot of schooling and have a lot of information and are able to help their patients through these things as well, so that folks don't have to schedule that doctor's appointment, maybe make that extra copay that your insurance requires, like make it a little more costly, a little bit more time to do something that these women have been doing maybe even for a while already. So,
how do constituents contact you or your office and find out things that are important to them, or just pass along something that they want you to be aware about?
Yeah, the best thing you can do is just go online, do your whatever search engine you use, you'll find my website pretty easily. And then you can choose your method of contact. There's a form right there. You can get the email address. You can get the phone number. There's also a 1-800 number available if you're still interested in those. I think in the age of cell phones, they're becoming less important. So that's always the best way, because then you can choose your method and you can still call the office. You can even still get the mailing address on there if you want to. It's usually not more than a couple, but I still get a small handful, probably less than five, I would guess, is the average of snail mail letters in the office. So that's always an option. But choose your method, reach out, and then also you'll see me in the community, right? I just got lobbied in a way walking into the radio station today.
I saw it. For the first days. That's right.
So it can happen anywhere. So I'm happy to answer questions. I'm happy to hear feedback. That's an important part of the job.
Just a couple of more minutes left, of community comment today. With that time, just want to briefly discuss for the Republican Party. There's a big event happening here today and tomorrow, mm-hmm. the Republican State Party Convention that is happening in Wausau. And Mark, what's your role here over the next day when it comes to this convention?
Yeah, I'll be heading up there for a part of it. Probably won't make the whole event, but certainly a good opportunity to talk to Republicans from around the state. But also, I know Dodge County will be sending a delegation up that I'll be joining for part of the day tomorrow. And I also will have an opportunity tomorrow at the convention to give a legislative update. Speaker Voss is unavailable, and so he asked me to join the Senate Majority Leader as well, give an update from both houses of the legislature as to what's going on down there. So some of the same information we talked about on the radio here today, probably. So that'll be a good opportunity to update Republicans from across the state at the state convention up in Wausau. And it's always a fun event, and a chance to hear. We'll hear updates from the congressional delegation and stuff like that too, which I'm sure will be very interesting because there's a lot of stuff going on in D.C. right now, a lot of questions, more questions than answers. So hopefully we'll hear some more about that as well.
Is that open to the public that people can come in, or is that something that just a politician-related event?
I think that there is a guest pass for it. I don't really know the details of that because I go as a delegate, so it's something that I've never gotten. But otherwise, the media is always well represented there, statewide media, Capitol Press Corps, WIS Politics, all that sort of stuff. So you can certainly I think Wisconsin I may even broadcast it. So there certainly would not be hard to find media coverage of it, I'm sure, this weekend.
So if you can't, if it's not open there, you can follow what's happening and get updates online from that convention happening today and tomorrow in Wausau. But we're out of time here today on Community Comments. Want to, again, thank our guest, State Representative Mark Bourne, for joining us on the program today. Thank you so much for your time.
Good to be with you. We'll see you next month.
We'll see you next month as well. And that'll do it for today's Community Comment.